Egyptians are voting on a new constitution under the watchful eye and the heavy hand of the military. In a moment, we'll hear from a human rights advocate who supports the proposed document.
But first, to the vote itself, which follows, of course, the military ouster last July of Mohamed Morsi, the elected Islamist president. A yes vote would boost the possible presidential candidacy of General Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. The BBC's James Reynolds joins us from Cairo. And James, from what we're hearing, this does not sound like a free and fair election.
No, let's bear in mind that only one side has really been allowed to campaign, that is the yes side. Let's also bear in mind that the military-backed government, the armed forces themselves, the police, the security forces have all actively been campaigning for a yes vote. For a no vote, essentially the government has been using an anti-protest law which has just been passed to stop the no vote from having any place in Egyptian society. Anyone who's tried to put up a no poster has had it taken down. The Muslim Brotherhood, which has now been outlawed, and it's told its supporters to stay at home. Essentially it means this: when you go to polling stations, I'm at one now, everyone you see at the poll will be a supporter of the yes campaign.
What if they vote no? Can they actually vote no? Is it a secret ballot?
I went in to see the ballot boxes a few hours ago, and it did look that you could vote for either yes or no, but I wasn't able to analyze the ballot papers in depth to see that if you closed the envelope, was there a way of seeing through it? Because in some referendums in countries in the past, you'll probably be familiar with things that have happened. The votes are transparent and they're matched up with identity card numbers. Here, I think we'll get an overwhelming preponderance of yes votes, simply because people here are having to wait several hours to go and vote, and therefore they'll really be the ones who want to make their voice heard in terms of a yes, because those who are most passionate for a no have already had their instructions from the people they support, the Muslim Brotherhood, who simply said, stay at home, don't bother going out to the polling stations.
James, give us a sense of what's in the Constitution. What are the three bullet points that this Constitution would do?
More power for the president, more power for the police and the military, and more power for the judiciary. Those are important because those institutions were the ones which opposed the Muslim Brotherhood during the Brotherhood's brief time in office, 2012 to 2013. Essentially, the military-backed government is trying to lay down ground rules for power of its sympathetic institutions to make sure the Muslim Brotherhood never has a chance to get back into power again. So if you look at the powers granted to the military in the new constitution, it essentially gets to pick or veto the defense minister. The defense minister would have to come from the armed forces. The armed forces gets control of its own budget. It gets to try civilians in a military court. Essentially, these powerful institutions get their power in writing, which will make it much more difficult for the Muslim Brotherhood ever to be able to take them on.
Now, James, Mohamed Morsi got something like 60% of the vote when he was elected president. Have people completely turned on him, or are they just doing what they're being forced to do at this point?
I think some people were disappointed with him. Others are loyal, and they are people who will be staying at home today. It's difficult to think that the results of this referendum will be a real accurate snapshot of the temperature of Egypt, because we won't learn anything by a preponderance of yes votes. We may learn something by a turnout, and I think that possibly is the figure to look for when the results are released in a few days' time.
Your colleague Orla Garin spoke with the Egyptian diplomat Amr Moussa. He's the chairman of the 50-member committee that drafted this new constitution, and she pressed him on concerns about the power of the military, the crackdown on protests in Egypt. Let's listen to how he responded.
Bearing in mind what the constitution stipulates about the freedoms, about basic rights, human rights, the constitution guarantees all that. On the 16th of January, it will be a different era.
James Reynolds, he says a different era. It sounds to me from the outside like the era is going to be very similar to the era that preceded Mohamed Morsi, to the era that lasted for decades in which a military general, Mubarak, was in charge.
It does feel like the rebirth of the security state, which some believe was dead and buried in the 2011 uprising or revolution, which came back last summer and attached itself to the revolution. Essentially here, the constitution guarantees a role for the security state. It's fascinating just looking at the posters here. They've all got pictures of General Sisi, the defense minister they hope will run for president, but they've also got his picture alongside Sadat and Nasser, of course, the former military rulers of Egypt. So essentially, I think these people by their posters are showing that he inherits the tradition of those men who were military rulers. And so there's really no disguising that.
James, we're about to speak with a human rights activist, and I just wonder how the people who were supporters of the new elections after Mubarak are feeling about this now. Specifically, have you talked to them, and what are they saying?
A lot of people repeated the same words to us: stability. I think almost in a way that appeared to be more important to people than definitions or understandings of democracy. It's been a pretty turbulent time in Egypt. I think people who've come out to vote, who are the diehards in support of a yes vote, are here because they want an end to the kind of turbulence they've had recently, and they believe that the military-backed government with protections for the military, the judiciary and the police is the best way of getting it. And as you suggested earlier, that does go back to the kind of form of state Egypt had for so many years from the 50s onwards.
It's the BBC's James Reynolds reporting from a very noisy Cairo, Egypt. James, is it always that noisy, or is that just today for the vote?
Egypt specializes in noise, Cairo in particular, but today it has been dialed up.
James, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Well, Jeremy, it's interesting. We spoke to a political scientist recently who said that historically, democracy advocates sometimes do accept setbacks like military suppression to get what they ultimately want, which, as we just heard, is stability. Let's bring in Dalia Ziada. She's a human rights activist and director of the Ibn Khaldun Center for Democratic Studies. Dalia, you say your polling shows that 78% of Egyptians are voting yes, but as we just heard, the no vote on the Constitution is being discouraged. How do democracy activists like yourself reconcile that Islamists say their previous constitution came from a democratically elected government, which was overturned by the military, backed by liberals like yourself, but it was democratically elected?
That's true. They were democratically elected, and we all agree with this, but they abused the democracy that brought them in power. And the people at a certain point realized that they are not the right people in power. That's why they decided to call them out and tell them, you are not valid to rule our country anymore. They not only failed to satisfy the needs of the people and make the people happy with security and economic situation, but they also practiced certain acts that hurt the national security of the country. See, for example, allowing terrorists to reside and have their own cells in Sinai, which was a big threat, by the way, not only for Egypt, but also for Israel. So the people simply decided that we should call them out. And this is what happened on June 30 and before, by signing petitions asking the president to leave.
This new constitution, which was written by a 50-member panel, there are some concerns. There were only two Islamist representatives on the panel. The last constitution was written pretty entirely by Islamists. It's said to soften Sharia law. Is there anything still in it that disturbs secularists?
The constitution is very well written. It's true it is written by a group of 50 representatives, but this group of 50 tried to be representative for the whole Egyptians. When we speak about two Islamist groups being represented, actually look whom they represent. Those two people are coming from Al-Nur Party. Al-Nur Party is the Salafist party of Egypt, and it represents the very big grassroots of the Islamists in Egypt. So having them represented is actually a message to the Egyptian Islamists that we still respect you, although we don't like the Muslim Brotherhood because they abused the religion and abused democracy, but we still respect the right of everyone else to have their own belief, practice their own religion, or even political belief without hurting the rest of Egyptians.
Well, we are reading that some human rights activists still say that this is a constitution that's not good enough, better than the last one, but not good enough. The Cairo Institute for Human Rights Study says it's another failure to produce a non-theocratic democratic constitution because it still allows for civilians to be tried in military courts. It states that Islam remains the religion of the state. It lists unspecified principles of Sharia law as the main source of legislation. It allows the military to pick the defense minister for the next 8 years. It could still subject journalists and artists to government censorship. So you are an activist. What do you like about it?
First of all, I think it's not fair what is being said about this constitution. I think it is the best in our history. Of course, it's not the best ever. It's not the best compared to most or more democratic countries like in the US or Europe or so, but it is the best so far. I think the only observation I have on the constitution is the status of the military. We did not get to the point yet of having the military under the control or the full control of democratic regime. But the constitution or this draft constitution paves the way for this and actually paves the way for having, I think within 8 years, two presidential terms, to have the military totally under the control of a civilian government. But on other levels, see, for example, the constitution is supporting freedom of expression, is supporting freedom of religion, and states very clearly that freedom of religion is guaranteed and freedom of belief is guaranteed. And for the first time in our constitution, we can see a sentence or an article saying that men and women are equal without seeing it followed by this weird expression of according to Sharia law. This is a big achievement and a big progress that we should, I mean, give us a lot of hope. I'm sure it's not going to be the best constitution ever, but, you know, let's wait and see how it is going to be validated on the ground afterwards.
That's Dalia Ziada, a human rights activist and director of Ibn Khaldun Center for Democratic Studies in Cairo, ahead of this week's vote on a new constitution. Dalia, thank you as always.
Thank you so much.